The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network. It's all live from Bar Canada here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin back in the fold, everybody, from his New Year's break. How you doing, man?
How you doing?
Were you banged up?
I was a little bit Sunday night. Yeah, sure was.
You back? You okay?
I'm good. I'm ready to roll.
Shout out to Wyatt Tomchek, who was here yesterday for Guessing Lines.
Great Wyatt Tomchek. Thank you for filling in, as always.
The great Wyatt Tomchek. Great show today. Pete Futak will join us, obviously, to talk college football with us later. Mike Sando, Will Hill, our buddy Will Hill, had Mike Sando, my old friend, on his podcast. Will's podcast is called Shoulda Bet More, which I love the title of. And Mike Sando will be on the show later on. He is a senior NFL writer at The Athletic. He's also a voter for all the NFL awards for the AP, so we will talk to him about that and beyond. And, of course, Drew Dinsick, which is the case each and every Tuesday to talk NFL, week number 18 and the week that was. Now, we must begin, however, with these two national semis yesterday. First of all, Kelly, let me just say my betting day yesterday, which is always in game with college. In the morning, just some bad results with like Tennessee, Wisconsin. I had an in-game under that should have gotten there. Tennessee, Iowa, pardon me. That should have gotten there, but didn't because of like a pick six and a fumble at the one. There was a tie at plus 290 in the third quarter in terms of the score that I wanted and the fumble at the one. So, anyway, didn't go well in the morning. And then I came roaring back at night, one I probably didn't deserve in the first national semi, and then one I think I sussed out well with UW in the second. But this was fantastic yesterday. First, Michigan and Alabama. Michigan ends up winning this 27-20. They get home as two-point favorites. They are headed to the national championship next week in Houston, 6 days from now. First half, I just felt like, you know, Michigan, I think most people did. Michigan was the better team, but a muffed punt set up a Bama touchdown. Add on a missed PAT for Michigan as well, kept the game at 3 points. There was also that great drive where they tied it up at 7, where they had the incredible play by McCarthy, where he caught the lateral and completed a pass. But I thought Michigan was the better football team, but the score was close, and so it allowed for Nick Saban and the Alabama coaching staff to make adjustments at halftime. They did, realizing they could not push the Michigan defensive line at all. The Michigan defensive line was completely dominating them. They went to a short passing game. It opened up everything for Alabama. They eventually go up 17-13 early in the fourth quarter. But at this point, like, because the third quarter was kind of stagnant on both ends, but Alabama goes up 17-13 early fourth quarter. Even a Milroe fumble goes unpunished when James Turner missed a 49-yard field goal. And then you get another 52-yard field goal from Reichert for Bama, his second 50-plus of the game. So Bama's up 7. You know where the whole story begins here now. 20-13 Bama, 4:41 to go. Michigan had done nothing, Kelly. Nothing the entire second half to this point.
Nope.
44 total yards of offense. They go 75 yards on 8 plays out of the blue, including a McCarthy to Corum 25-yard conversion on a 4th-and-2 from their own 33. They also get set back on that with an illegal back block in the back. That was with just over 3 minutes left. It eventually ends up McCarthy to Roman Wilson for 420 apiece with 94 seconds left. The D holds, and then Jake Thaw muffs the punt, regains possession at the 1. Michigan able to force overtime from there, barely. So I don't. First of all, where did that drive come from? And then, my goodness, just surviving the muff. And then in overtime, Corum.
I don't understand how he survived that punt, like the muffing the punt. Like when he picked that back up.
That's exactly what
I
said.
He's gonna get wrecked. That ball's flying loose.
So funny.
Bama's winning this game.
That's exactly what I
said. I mean, how many times do we see that? Like we see that like 90% of the time. It feels like when you muff a punt like that, you go to pick it up, and everybody's watching these guys barreling downfield. Know you're about to get absolutely destroyed. They fumble the ball every time. I was so impressed.
The muff was one thing, but corralling it and then surviving the hit was everything. It was. And Corum then 8-17 on an amazing run where he cut to the left on a bounce move to the left where he got into the end zone. And then the Michigan defense, what Alabama had at what? First and goal at the 9, then fourth and goal at the 3. It's another low snap. They were plagued, Alabama was, by low snaps all night. This one forced Milroe to abort the design play. He trips over his offensive lineman's leg, falls to the ground. Ball game. Michigan out of just death, it looks like. I mean, when Alabama was driving for that field goal that put them up 7, looked like Alabama couldn't be stopped there. Somehow they were. And there it is. The Michigan Wolverines are headed to the national championship, where they will be 4.5-point favorites, or at least are 4.5-point favorites. Installed, Kelly. You got to install a spread before you're able to bet it.
Installed.
Installed as 4.5-point favorites here against UW, because if you thought that game couldn't be topped, oh, my God. This is another one where I thought, again, Michigan, I thought, was the best team, was the by far the better team in the first half of that game against Alabama, but couldn't, was not nearly as far ahead as that I think they should have been based on the muffed punt and what Alabama did with it and the missed PAT.
So I had Alabama money line, kind of felt the same way through that first half, though, right? I was like, Michigan's outplaying these guys, but I was like, I trust in Saban to kind of make some adjustments. Thought they looked better in that second half, and then right at the end, it was caught up.
It was similar to many bowl games in which it was like 3 games in 1 where Michigan sort of dominated, and Alabama dominated, and somehow Michigan from out of nowhere.
What did you think about the final play? What did you think about that play call?
The low snap botched it.
Okay. All right.
It wasn't supposed to be that.
I don't know where that was going. It was what he was going to swing it out to the back.
Correct.
It looked like he did it. I don't want to say abandoned that, but it looks like he didn't even think about going for it after the snapping. Well,
He tripped over his own guy too.
Man, I don't know. I don't know if that was going anywhere anyway. It's like that might was not. Michigan was sending everybody at him all night long. It affected everything.
Yeah, we will never know. But I thought in the same game, the same thing in the second game, where I thought UW, and this was the one where I was like, someone was asking me right before the game, what are you betting in this one? I go, I want to see Penix against Texas for a drive, and we'll know very quickly how this is going to go. And almost immediately, you're like, oh, this is going to go very well for UW. They have been underestimated all season long. Every little hurdle put in front of them, they overcome. So immediately it was just banging UW bets for much of this first half. But again, the same story, a muffed punt for UW. Remember, it was 14-7 in favor of Washington. They were about to field a punt, which would have allowed them to perhaps matriculate and go up even more, but a muffed punt, and Texas capitalized, made it 14-14. They got a late drive at the end of the half. At 21-21 at the half, somehow in a half that I thought UW dominated, they got stopped on a grand total of 2 drives the Huskies did in that half, besides the end of the half kneel down. Only one was a punt. Remember, one was on downs and a bad 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1 play calls. So, and by the way, on the 14-14, when it's 14-14 and UW got it to go up 21-14, they went for it 4th-and-1 at their own 33, and that resulted in a touchdown. You won't hear the anti-analytics crowd talking about that today, I'm sure. But Penix had 255 yards passing in the first half, and it's tied somehow. Then the third quarter starts. First drive, he goes 6 for 6 for 56 and a touchdown. It's 28-21. C.J. Baxter fumbles immediately. First play from scrimmage for Texas. Sets up UW at the Texas 25. They get a field goal. Then a Texas punt, which a lot of people thought down 10 they shouldn't have done. By the way, third quarter stats, it was 157 to 34 total yards in favor of UW, 10-1 in first downs. Another field goal to make it 34-21. Then Texas matriculates. Jaden Blue fumbles. Then the second punt of the game for UW, Texas big drive. Then after that, 10 plays, 72 yards. Remember, they're down 13. Ewers to Adonai Mitchell from one out. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. It's for a certain portion of the college football viewing audience and viewers and listeners to this program. 34-28. I've been waiting years to say that about him. 34-28 Washington, 7:23 to go. Washington adds another field goal, 37-28. That trades with an Auburn field goal for Texas. 37-31, 1:09 left. Okay. Then Washington does the thing, because Texas has got only 2 timeouts left, right? Instead of just kneeling, they do the Mario Cristobal, let's run it into the line thing and see if we can risk a fumble. And I'm going, like, I'm just, oh my God, I cannot believe what I'm watching. What are you doing? They survive that on the first 2 plays. And then on the third, when Texas has no timeouts remaining, they do it again. And this time, Dylan Johnson, their running back, gets hurt. And so instead of Texas getting the ball back with what would have been 12 seconds left, there was a 15-second discrepancy with the play clock and the game clock, and if you allow for the punt to go up in the air, they would have had the ball with 12 seconds left. Instead, he gets hurt. Dylan Johnson gets hurt. And you got to explain to me the football logic of this rule. If you're trailing and you get hurt, I get it. There's a 10-second runoff, and a team should risk getting penalized for that because you never know. But if you're ahead in this situation, there is no football logic to the fact that then the game clock stops on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's it became a 33-second difference between when Texas got the ball, if there hadn't been an injury, and versus getting the injury. Not to mention then, of course, Washington with the catch interference on the punt that allowed Texas to start at their own 30-yard line with 45 seconds left in the game instead of 12. And you know what happened? UW's like in single coverage. They get it to the Washington 28 with 28 seconds to go, incomplete in the end zone. Then a 16-yard pass to the 12, which withstood replay. And then so you have a first and 10 at the 12, 15 seconds left, strange swing pass for minus 1 yard, 10 seconds to go. Then out of the end zone, no one could have caught it, 5 seconds to go. Then tripped up, Ewers was, and he sort of threw it out of bounds as he's falling, incomplete. They put 1 second back on the clock, incomplete in the end zone. UW headed to the national championship. 4.5-point dogs. You going to underestimate them again?
No.
Everybody in college football going to underestimate them again? You got to play these things out on the field, man. I don't know what it is about them, but good on Penix. Good on UW. Talk about this with Futech later. Got much more to say. Going to do the same thing. Going to wait a drive against Michigan and then see what happens. Coming back with Drew Dinsick next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Looking to bet smarter? The VSiN has the perfect holiday gift for you. Sign up on our holiday special today. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through May 1st for only $79. Sign up today. Get unlimited access to daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, premium analysis, and 24/7 video, plus all our betting guides and best bets for all college bowl games, the Super Bowl, and March Madness. Don't miss out on this limited time holiday offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up on our holiday special now. That's VSIN.com/subscribes. Gil Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. James Robinson, I was saying yesterday on Guessing Lines that I felt like with 1 week left in the NFL season, I don't ever remember there being this many playoff permutations for as many teams who also can like lose and still make it. And he points out, buttressing that point, Tom Pelissero saying it is a historic week 18 ahead for the NFL. 20 teams still in contention for a trip to the Super Bowl, which ties for the most with 1 week remaining in the last 41 years since a record 22 in 1982. Jesse Welch, I need to know who chooses the clips y'all use for your promo commercials, because the Flacco for Comeback segment is the perfect propaganda machine I need for my 100-to-1 ticket to come home. So he's requesting a promo on that. Dom Perignon, I'd just like to congratulate Michigan for overcoming the adversity of their own cheating scandal and winning their semifinal game, a true us against the world story. Go Dogs. Everybody's still got their little tribal things. Jason H11, he says, I know I should have paid attention when they taught Yiddish in school. That was Hebrew. That was the old school language right there a second ago. This is Danny Rode, who says, I was at the Rose Bowl. This was the quintessential Jim Harbaugh game, a classic. And in the end, when we needed it, JJ, Corum, Wilson coming through. It was awesome. I'm still buzzed by it all last night. I think it was just unbelievable. It brings up questions of where does Michael Penix now get drafted? He will be 24 years old when the season starts next year. Jaden Daniels is a little younger than him, but not by much. And then you juxtapose that against actual NFL quarterbacks that we've seen for a few years, like Justin Fields and Tua, who are barely older than them. So it brings up a lot of questions with Washington early in the draft. What is Chicago going to do with Fields? What are they going to do with the number one picks? All of that's in play as well. Drew Dinsick joins us, ladies and gentlemen. You can follow him on Twitter at @whale_capper, the host, the co-host, and the host of not one but two podcasts. Of course, The Deep Dive, which he does with his buddy Andy Molitor, which is just must-listen betting stuff. And, of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge. He also does a lot of live stuff at halftimes of games as well. It's Drew Dinsick, everybody. How you doing, Drew?
I'm doing well. Happy New Year, you guys.
You too. What'd you do for the New Year's? What does a gentleman like you do on New Year's Eve?
Oh, so we had just a raconteur's trip up and down the East Coast visiting family for Christmas week. And then we flew home to Long Beach and did second Christmas with my wife's family on New Year's Day. So New Year's Eve was a lot of prep for that. But that's fun in its own right. Stayed up and usually we just watch the New York ball drop and call it a night. But we had a little extra. A little extra energy at our old age, and made it up for the actual West Coast ball drop. So that was it was a good extra long weekend. I don't know how I'm going to get any work done this week though, because I am physically a mess, and it's an important week to start getting work done. So it's going to be an interesting next 4 days.
Excellent use of raconteur, by the way, in that as well. all right. Well, let's first of all, before we get to week 18, because I do want to get your thoughts on just the. You know, the toughest week to sort of navigate of any NFL season. You're not a college football guy. Do you watch that, though? Do you sit down and watch the national semis and enjoy what you see? Or do you, like, not really care if you're not handicapping it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't particularly like the quality of college football relative to the NFL, but for these semifinal bowl games, like because there's real deal stakes, and whenever one happens to coincide with I watch the Rose Bowl every year, like start to finish. Doesn't matter who's playing, doesn't matter what it's for. But the fact that was a semifinal this year was freaking awesome, and that ended up being a really outstanding game. And then Texas Washington down to the last play. Was quite entertaining as well. And, you do this long enough, you meet some, very sharp players who handicap sports that you don't. And, I had a ton of skin in the bowl games overall, and it looking like, it's going to end up being a very green, bowl season, which is appreciative because, I got my teeth kicked in the NFL last week. So, nice to have a little bit of a soft landing with a number of these, bowls coming through, in favorable fashion.
Hey, it was a great college bowl season for me too. I'm sad it's over on the one hand, though I need to rest. But yeah, like the fact that Texas might have won that game. Like I had a bunch of in games on UW Moneyline, and so the fact that like I was like slinking down in my chair, like how is this even happening? Like, I don't think I did that justice in the first segment. Let's talk week 18 in the National Football League. You said you got your teeth kicked in last week. What was the big loser for you?
Colts backdoor hurt badly. I mean, the Raiders coming through the back door against the Colts hurt badly. Carolina no showing hurt. Miami no showing hurt. I got double losses on that Miami game because I had an under and I had Dolphins, so that was lovely. I think the only full stakes winner I had was Packers. Everything else was bad for me. So yeah, honestly, I was in pretty decent contention in the millions for season long and fourth quarter. And, I just lit my entry on fire basically.
That happened to me a few weeks before that. Kelly's nodding too. We were all like, we were having sneaky good years, and then it just exploded.
Any chance I had ended this past weekend as well to sneaking in anything.
You were on Carolina too.
Yeah. Yes, I was on Carolina as well. Yes, and the Colts.
Well, what I mean, okay. Sorry to have brought that up. We're sorry to have seized on
No, it's but, important to reflect on this stuff. There were like 10 backdoor covers last week. There were like 10 injuries that I thought really mattered and ultimately didn't. Like, it was a bizarre week. I can't even really blame that I wasn't really in my normal routine of handicapping, and that's why I got things wrong. Like, I still rewatched some of those games. I've tried to grind through some of the box scores, some of the data, and I'm still like, wow, how in the world? It was a fluky week. And, I think realistically, like the fact that so many of the games the previous week fell on Christmas Eve, Christmas, and then, obviously preparations were a little disrupted for a lot of these teams. I think you felt that a little bit. And I think you're feeling now like some of these teams that are just in general fresher because they've had key players who were injured for a lot of the season who are now playing well and or just young, fresh legs who are finally getting a chance on the offensive side. Like that, it feels like there's a pretty different, sort of kind of team level strengths right now for a lot of these squads. Like Baltimore is a great example. Like that offense bloomed so late, and is so much more prolific than I even, could have imagined halfway through the season. It's it's tough to come up with a fair rating for what they're going to be in the playoffs. And, you know, and similarly goes for the Chiefs. Like, I don't really know what they are right now. So it's a, yeah, it's going to be challenging to try to find some effective plays in the playoffs, at least with the way that these teams are all in flux.
I want to get to your week 18 thoughts, but since you bring this up, let's just seize on that for a second, which is, you know, I was talking about this on Guessing Lines yesterday. Okay. I've got exactas on the Niners beating a few teams in the Super Bowl, and I want to cover myself by taking a Ravens to beat the Niners on the other side, which begs the question, because obviously I have my answer. Who can you see beating the Niners in San Francisco? Who can you see beating the Ravens in Baltimore in their respective conference playoffs?
Well, I definitely don't think the Niners are unbeatable. We know this. certainly the Ravens, I think, would be probably small favorites on a neutral, considering the way they're playing right now and how that game went down on Christmas. And I think it's also notable that the Niners aren't especially healthy. Ambry Thomas matters. He was a huge part of their secondary, really kind of coming into their own down, you know, in the middle to the later portion of the season. And he's now, having surgery, a hand surgery. I don't know if he'll be available for the playoffs. Sounds like Armstead is going to be available, and he definitely matters. But that secondary could be a little bit susceptible. And in general, like, the Niners defense hasn't played as well this year as we've come to expect. So they're going to have to get it done on offense. And honestly, like, a game at home with Brock Purdy, if he makes a mistake relatively early, like, I think ultimately there could be some ghosts. There could be some, is this going to come unraveled again? And playoff pressure is absurd, and it mostly impacts the quarterback. So I think there's definitely scope for somebody like Dallas to go into San Francisco and find a way to win. Somebody like the Rams, who, you know, obviously are very familiar with the Niners being divisional opponents, finding a way to go down there and perform, or go up there and perform well. That's probably where I would draw the line. I don't think Philly's playing anywhere close to well enough defensively right now to have a sniff of a chance. And I think
because last week
Lions defense is a problem.
Because last week you were all over Philly, right? So you've come around on them.
Yeah. I mean, that performance against the Cardinals was pretty pathetic. And the fact that you look specifically at what they're trying to do defensively to make up for some of the limitations personnel wise, and Matt Patricia has the keys to the car and is kind of driving it into the Delaware River. It does not have good vibes right now in Philadelphia.
Raconteur, geographical knowledge, man has it all. I'll get your thoughts on the AFC on the other side. Same question, and we'll get your Week 18 feel. Did this Knicks-Raptors trade do anything for you? What do you have in the NBA? Drew Dinsick, everybody. Whale Capper, right here on a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming back.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we got to take a break and talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's ZYN.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin back in the house right here at Maracanada. The D, the barrage. Drew Dinsick, kind enough as always to join us for two segments here on a Tuesday. Drew, same question for the Ravens, the number one seed in the AFC. Who can you legit see at this point going into Baltimore and taking them down?
Yeah. I mean, I think the list is actually longer than people are willing to kind of wrap their heads around. Buffalo is the obvious first choice because, you know, Buffalo, of course, has to get the two seed, I think, to really realize any kind of playoff destiny this year. But Josh Allen certainly has the ceiling and scope to go toe for toe with Lamar in that offense and in kind of a shootout. Pretty obviously, the Dolphins do not have the ability to go in there and perform well. But you never know with the second crack. Maybe they're a little bit more competitive. However, the injury situations for Dolphins has me putting a line through them. The Browns can do something special. Surely that defense is good enough to travel. Kansas City has Pat Mahomes. I would never rule them out. And I don't think anyone in the South realistically, or any of the other wild card contenders realistically, has a chance there. But, you know, the Baltimore and Lamar Jackson in particular, what does he have, one playoff win against the Tennessee Titans, who really, I think, fumbled the bag in that game at home with some of the decision making that Vrabel had in terms of just sort of game state and aggressiveness. So it's not like he's like covered it in playoff glory here. So, you know, there's definitely some scope for, you know, Lamar to be a little bit tighter than what we've seen from him in this kind of close to the season. And in general, I think there are some questions about the Ravens defense. If you can kind of get going on the ground against them, which teams have been able to do in the second half of the year. So, you know, I think the list starts with Buffalo probably ends with Kansas City, and Cleveland's probably in the middle there. But that would be my final four in terms of expectation right now in the AFC.
Okay. Well, I ask a question, I get an answer. So far more competitive than I have it at. All right. Well, week 18 then. The word squirrely always comes to mind. San Francisco's number one seed in the NFC. Baltimore's number one seed. How will Kyle Shanahan and John Harbaugh play that? Will, you know, in the case of Baltimore, will it be Tyler Huntley? Will it be some combination of the Josh Johnson show? Then there's the teams that are already out of it. You have a game like the San Francisco game where they're playing a team in the Rams, which, you know, the Rams' only thing they're playing for is a 6 or a 7 seed, and I'm not sure they care. What about the Eagles, who, you know, could win the division, but probably realistically, because Dallas is playing Washington, won't, and they're quite okay with the number 5 seed. There's just a lot of tea leaf reading here that has to take place, and I don't know how involved you get into that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to remember that must win does not equal must cover. There are a lot of people who will kind of, you know, not necessarily take that to heart as they are looking at specific matchups where you have somebody playing for something versus an opponent that's not. But that said, if it's, you know, there, if there's an opportunity to put a margin on a team and you're in a must win situation, then it's a different, different decision-making on the part of the coach. So, I would expect Harbaugh rest Lamar. I don't think you put Lamar in harm's way against the Pittsburgh defense in for any dollars. There's zero advantage to, getting some of your stars hurt against a Steelers team that is playing hard and has a propensity for hurting people. Baltimore, I would expect really pulls their punches big time in terms of who's available in that game. I would be shocked if Lamar plays, honestly. Niners, similarly, like that team is beaten up right now. They have Christian McCaffrey has been pulled. You have a number of players in the defensive side who I think they want to get some rest for. So I would expect the Rams to be competitive in that spot. And I actually like them at 3.5. You can get right now, I think is a fair bet. And I don't know, the rest of the card is a little weird. Squirrely is kind of the correct word. I would expect that Trevor Lawrence goes for the Jags, but the Jags laying 5 in Tennessee seems like too much to me if it's going to be Tannehill, which by all accounts it will be. So I may get involved going against the Jags again. Even though I'm at fresh wounds trying to fade that team. And I actually have a ton of both Colts and Texans now to win the South. So Jags kind of winning and covering against the Titans would be the least desirable outcome. So, no intention to protect them that one, though. The line that really stood out to me looking at this is a game that doesn't matter at all. And that's Jets, New England. I think the Pats probably, this is the one there should be favored by 3. I like the Pats defense against the Jets offense as currently rostered. And I think, in general, New England sending Belichick on his way with a W seems, that seems fitting. 2.5 for me for New England is probably the one that I was the most excited about as we kind of pour through this card. The permutations of playoffs are as complex as they've ever been this late in the season.
Yeah,
there are more teams alive than there have ever been week 18. It's funny that a game like Pittsburgh, Baltimore, where Pittsburgh is playing for their lives, there is still a realistic, outcome where that game does not matter one way or the other. Like Pittsburgh could lose and still get in if other things happen, which is insane. So, similarly with Houston Indy, like the winner, it would seem would be punching their ticket, but there's also outcomes where they don't get in. So, it's kind of fun to, kind of chew through all that stuff. And I think, not that I really care about this, but it does feel like the only matchup I really want to see wild card weekend is Rams Lions like that just for the storytelling. And honestly, that would probably be your Monday Night Football finale of Wildcard Weekend. But I think as long as we get that in the 3-6, then I kind of don't care how everything else breaks.
And still likely, it's still very likely to happen. And you're so right. I went through this on Guessing Lines yesterday with every team. It's not only the number of teams, it's the, and it's, there's so many situations where, yeah, no, if the Steelers lose, but the Jags lose as well, and the Broncos win, and if the Texans and the Colts don't end in a tie, they're still in. Like you said, there's other teams that have this situation as well, where it's in Indianapolis and Indianapolis and Houston's case, yeah, winning the Jaguars loss gets them in the division, but even if they lose, there's a scenario as well. So it's fascinating to go through all these, and we'll go through more of them again as the week continues. Okay. NBA real quick here before we get out. Did the big trade, by the way, OG Anunoby goes from the Raptors to the Knicks. They send RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley in the other direction. Other players involved as well, but those are the headliners. Even if it didn't trigger anything with you on the Knicks currently, as currently constituted, maybe as a portent of things to come from the Knicks, does it move the needle for you on them? Does it make you think about any bets on the Knicks?
I think both teams probably win in the short term from this because they both squads were pretty stale and just needed a little bit of a shakeup, as far as I can tell you. I don't think it makes either of these teams any kind of threat to, you know, kind of be a playoff factor. Knicks and Raptors, I think the Raptors ceiling is probably 7-8 seed and the Knicks is pretty clearly 5. So I don't think realistically this is going to change, you know, move the needle much for, you know, sort of the outcome of the Eastern Conference Championship. But, you know, for now, at least these teams have some scope to play a little bit better basketball because things had gotten quite stale with both of these rosters. And honestly, I think the long-term winner is probably going to be the Raptors from this trade, but you know, we'll see. I've never been like a super high guy on OG Anunoby, and I think honestly the Raptors probably should have moved him earlier for a better package. But I think what they got is pretty solid and favorable for them in terms of building a young core going forward. So slight lean as the Raptors on a winner there, but you know, I think right now the East is still very clearly Boston's to lose.
6 games in the NBA tonight, including the Celtics and the Thunder, which is the headliner. Any plays today?
Yeah, nice spot for the Pelicans, nice spot for the Warriors, nice spot for the Kings. Kings line's unbettable. What's that out to? 16, 15 and a half, 16. Yep. Yeah, I think you got to pass the Kings. I laid the Pelicans and I laid the Warriors, but I'll tell you what, there's better stuff tomorrow. The Rockets catching the Nets on the back to back are in a really beautiful spot. Maybe the best of all is this Atlanta squad, who people have, you know, market's kind of given up on Atlanta. And I get why, but they're drawing Oklahoma City in sort of their most fatigued game of the entire season so far. So could see some messy basketball with OKC on the road at Atlanta tomorrow. So, I got Golden State and Pels tonight, and going back at the Nets tomorrow with the Rockets, and back and at the Thunder with the Hawks tomorrow.
So the in-season tournament swoon for you handicapping, that's now in the rear view. You're back doing your thing.
Oh, definitely. Yeah definitely. I think we basically have a hard reset now on all of these teams, and you're starting to see some of the fatigue advantages be meaningful. So yeah, it's nice. This next couple of weeks is probably going to be the golden time of the season for fatigue advantage.
Yeah, retrospect, Houston was probably an easy play against Detroit yesterday, wasn't it?
Oh, it was one of my bigger bets of the year.
I'm sure. Yeah, you were on it. Yeah, good for you. You, Drew, were you on it? No, nothing.
Yeah, of course. Oh, okay. That yesterday was actually okay. That NBA on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day was phenomenal.
Drew, thank you. Enjoy. Good luck, Week 18.
Hey, best luck, guys.
Drew Dinsick at @Whale_Kappa. We're coming back with our power rankings next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly, and they will get the NBA League Pass for the rest of the season. Download the app and use the promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. By the way, I hope Zoe Saldana is getting paid by the airing of that commercial.
Oh, my gosh.
I hope
you look like a monster. marshmallow.
You look like a marshmallow. I hope she gets paid every time it airs because she will be a billionaire.
It is obnoxious. You know what I think you and I talked about it, but like when it first came out, I was like, good for Zoe Saldana. We never see her.
Good for her.
We never see her.
Good for her.
And now that I've seen her 127,000 times, I'm good with it.
Good for her and good for us, Kelly. I just say. We get tweets at the beginning of the book. The real Joby. Happy New Year. Any strong opinions on tonight's generational tennis matchup tonight at Auckland between Wang Xinyu and Wang Ziyu? No, I have not dived in yet to that, but tennis is back and I'm loving it. Kevin Ryan, Gil, I went to bed when the Huskies went up 9 after the field goal. Did I miss anything? Dukes at Dukes in the PNW. Going into the final week, do you have any season win totals on the brink that you're considering hedging, asking for a friend who now somehow has to sweat under Broncos 8.5? My only two season win totals are done. I had the Washington Commanders alt over, loser. I had the Giants alt under, winner, plus 185. So those end up being a profitable experience. Again, alt unders and alt overs, the way to go on that. Before we get to our power rankings.
And thanks, Mike Tomlin. I don't know about you, but I got a tweet or two about
bro,
some interesting stat.
I downplayed it yesterday with Wyatt. We got conservatively 50 tweets about
that.
We
really did.
About, hey, guys, do you guys know that he's not had a losing season in 17 years?
It's
phenomenal. It just was relentless over and over and over.
It almost made losing the money okay. Yeah, no, not really.
So you had...
I'm sitting on a push right now. I need a Tyler Huntley win this weekend.
You lost the one already.
Lost the alt under 7.5.
And now you got the actual season win total.
Yeah, under 9.
And now you're sweating your Jacksonville division as well.
Oh, man, this weekend, it's so, like, I mean, we're going to talk about it a bit, but I barely bet anything. I'm sweating Seahawks to make the playoffs, Jags to win the AFC South. I think that's it that's left. Yeah, that's it that's left.
Yeah.
But a couple, those two and then the Steelers. Rooting for a push.
We were just talking about this off air how, because I brought it up again, because those games yesterday were so amazing. And I still, as someone who had Washington bets, and I do mean plural, the fact that Washington... And these are two separate conversations. One, DeBoer, ridiculous for running the ball to, you know, risk a fumble to begin with. And you can argue, oh, well, that's why a player got hurt, because he ran the ball. He should have just knelt on it. And okay. But it's also a separate thought of they got to change that rule. Like, you can't... Texas shouldn't have been allowed. Like, there's no football logic to Texas would get the ball deep in their own territory. Okay, even if they had the interference on the catch, which is also a mistake for Washington, Texas would have had the ball with 12 seconds left versus with 33 seconds more, with 45. So from absolute life support to, oh, you got some time to matriculate the ball down the field. And yes, again, Washington single covered. Like, Washington was terrible letting them get down the field until the end. But those are two separate things. So that has to be, like, that rule, it went against the spirit of everything. Oh, just because your player got hurt, now we're going to give the other team to knock you out of the national semis. And you were pointing out it was very similar to, you know, in some ways to, and I didn't get a chance to talk to you about it, but I did with Wyatt yesterday on Guessing Lines, the Detroit-Dallas ending, which is, again, yes, Mike McCarthy, on the one hand, is ridiculous for throwing the ball on second down and stopping the clock, which he did again in the Seattle, Seattle game of like 5 weeks before that, which gave the Seattle Seahawks life in their 6-point loss to the Cowboys. Cowboys bailed out McCarthy then, too. To the whole reporting versus non-reporting with Brad Allen, it's like, did Taylor Decker report? Did he not report? And I said yesterday with Wyatt, and I didn't, you know, I really feel like there's been, in all the times, all the years we watch football, there's any number of games where we feel like some subjective call screwed a team or not.
Yeah.
This is not subjective. This is objective. It either happened or it didn't.
Right.
And I really feel like, and I was not involved, I was going to lose anyway on a Dallas contest pick. I just felt like the Lions got so screwed there, and it was only a matter of seeding for them. Probably they did have a chance for the number one seed at that point still. So I shouldn't say that. Philadelphia is the team that really screwed themselves by losing, and that outcome obviously played into that factor. But you know, the Lions contend. It was with the Jared Goff line. I'll just repeat it from yesterday. Jared Goff said, you know, he didn't say Brad Allen by name, but he said they said Taylor Decker reported and Dan Skipper did not. Or no, we know that Taylor Decker reported and Dan Skipper did not, but Brad Allen said Dan Skipper did. And it's like a he said, she said.
I know.
It's like, it's there just, it is. That's the end of it.
It says, like, it just, it was another night of, like, me thinking about how dumb some of these rules are. I mean, we saw the CeeDee Lamb fumble.
It goes out of the end zone.
We talked about that so
my
much.
My favorite rule.
Totally makes sense when you march the ball all the way down the field. Sure. You just fumble it out the end zone. It turns the other team's ball. But between that, and then you're like, I'm watching this. I mean, like, in the Scott Van Pelt post game was incredible. Like, bravo to everybody at ESPN and Scott Van Pelt, because it was like this great conspiracy theory that just happened, and then they're reviewing it with every angle of film that you could possibly ask for.
Zapruder.
And I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, man, imagine how crazy easy it would be if, like, some OC in the booth could just, like, like down to a device, like a freaking pager on the ref's, like, belt. I'm like, sorry. Okay, this guy's eligible. Great. Okay, clear communication. And you can check these things afterward. It's just, like, I don't – we talk about explaining this sport to, like, say, like foreigners sometimes that wouldn't understand it. Well, it's hard enough to explain to them of, like, how much money this league is worth and how some of these things, like, have not been updated. Like, it's – we've got chains and stuff. Why do we need that?
I'm a big fan of the chains. It's old school. It's always 10 yards. It's always perfectly 10 yards. I'm a big fan.
I hate it all.
Power rankings, ladies and gentlemen. Plug it in.
I was waiting for you. Otherwise,
does somebody say something in that little promo at the beginning?
It was just us.
Oh, okay, stuff. Sounded like somebody. All right, 49ers 1, Ravens 2. You can flip them. I would have no problem with it. It's very close for sure. This is going into week 18.
It's very close, and it got closer this week.
Yes, right? That's right. It got super close, much closer last week, and now even closer. This is going into the final week of the NFL season. I have the Cowboys as a number 3.
Okay.
I know they shouldn't have won that, one might argue. Maybe they grasped the jaws of victory from defeat to victory or whatever you want to call it this past week. But I got them as the third best team because I just think they're lethal at home. And they've got the talent that makes them number 3. I got the Dolphins at 4. The problem with the Dolphins is there's so many injuries now. So many injuries, particularly on defense. Obviously, Jalen Phillips out for the year. Now, Bradley Chubb out for the year. Xavier Howard is hurt. The Bills are 5 to me. I know they're the team no one wants to play in the postseason, the proverbial team no one wants to face. But, man, like a performance like that against New England, you just wonder what you get from them any given week. Eagles, to me, remain at 6. They're trickling down. They've been. The Browns, for me, go to 7, and the Chiefs trickle down even further to 8. Like, I just can't. I can't with the Chiefs anymore. You're no better than 8 to me, and I might even be being generous at that point. The Rams remain at 9, and I have the Lions as number 10. Back to 10. Those are my top 10 in that order.
Welcome to the Gill NFL Power Rankings, Detroit Lions. This is the first week?
No. They've been 10 before. Okay. Many times.
Okay.
Many times.
I can remember. Yeah. Cowboys up to 3. I feel
that's the highest they've ever
been. Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like that. This is higher than you've been on the boys in a while.
Yeah.
It's interesting to get where we're at, feel for where we're at. We're heading into the final week. Let's see. For me, I went Niners or Ravens too, but that was, I was like, am I really? I'm like, Gil and I are probably both going to have this. Like, we might get some tweets about this because this is really close now.
Yeah.
But like, I think it's what we talked about last week. If this game was, if this was played on a neutral, right, in a week from now, I'd be betting the 49ers again. I just would be. So that's where they're at 1, Ravens 2, Bills are 3, they remain 3 for me. Cowboys go up to 4. I think a lot of what you just said, especially if they're playing at home, this is still one of the most dangerous teams in the league to me. This is where it gets interesting because I think beyond this, it's the who's really for real? I don't know. The Dolphins, I moved down to 5. You could argue I could have moved them down more. The Browns are at 6 for me. Do I really think they're the 6th best team in the NFL right now? I have no freaking clue based on Joe Flacco and everybody else around them, right? That defense is good. Flacco's been amazing. What they've been able to do, at least moving the ball through the passing game, has been impressive. Will it be able to stay? I'm not sure. Lions 7 there. They're kind of hanging around that same. And then like you have, Eagles and Chiefs, they just keep dropping for me. Eagles 8, Chiefs 9. Still think they got a puncher's chance, but they're 8 and 9 for me, and then Rams number 10.
We got the same 10 teams, just rearranged a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah, we got that in common. Dan Le Batard is next on the DK Network. We're coming back right here at VSiN. Pete Futak on college football, Jim Rood on college hoops, and Mike Sando, actual award voter from the AP. We'll get his thoughts on his votes coming up in the NFL. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.